Oh my God, guys. Oh, this was one of my favorite conversations. His name is Dustin Gutkowski and absolutely dropped gems upon gems upon gems in this episode. I mean, we're talking about somebody who was homeless at 14 and created a multi-million dollar business in just a few years. You have got to listen to this episode. I think it will inspire you. And he also just gives you so much wisdom and things to think about as an entrepreneur and business leader. I cannot wait for you to listen to this. Here we go. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I want to thank all of you guys so much for joining us, and you guys have been putting me on the map. I cannot believe that my podcast has gone up to the top 1% podcast to listen to in the country because of you, and over 100,000 downloads because you guys are freaking awesome. You know I go around this amazing planet of ours finding the best humans I can find to come on here to grow and challenge your thinking. I found a really cool dude. I cannot wait for you to meet him. His name is Dustin. He's a visionary founder of Results Roofing, whose life story is nothing short of inspiring. So from triumphing over homelessness at the age of 14 to creating a business empire, Dustin embodies the spirit of resilience and transformation. And you guys know we talk about that on here. His mantra, impact over income, has become a guiding principle in his empowering thousands on their journey of personal and professional growth. So as a devoted father and entrepreneur, Dustin has taken his company from zero to a remarkable 100 plus million in 4 years. Dustin, what's up with that? An extraordinary testament to his leadership and his commitment. He is freaking cool. So I cannot wait for you to listen to this man. He is unbelievable and so inspiring. And he is changing the world one person at a time. So get ready, y'all, because we are going to hit a really impactful interview. How are you, Dustin? How are you doing?
I am good. Thank you for the intro. I'm blushing. And also, just congratulations on your success. That's awesome to hear.
Thank you.
Just the success with the podcast, the downloads, all that. So two things. Thank you for having me on, and just congrats for your success. That's amazing. I love to see that.
Thank you. I love your story, a little bit of what I read, and it just in your bio, right? I mean, I've been homeless myself, right? And I've lived in shelters and stuff like that as well, Dustin. So I cannot wait to dig into all of that if you're open to that. Good. My first question off the gate is always the same. Who are you, Dustin? I want my audience to know you. So who are you?
Yeah. My favorite thing on earth is being a father. I ground myself in being a father. I have my oldest is Connor. My middle is Kobe. And my youngest, I have my daughter is Gianna. So they're 6, 3, and 1. And my lovely wife, and you know, she's the one that makes it all go. I feel like everybody always says family over everything. And I believe that's true to a point. I think your family is your wife, husband, you know, your significant other and your children. That's your family.
Yeah.
Everything else is interchangeable, right? I chose them. And like being a husband and being a father is my favorite thing to do. It's what I ground myself in, like just being a father every single day, trying to be the best father I could be. And I really have, you know, I feel like there's more great mothers out there than great fathers. I feel like we don't do our part a lot. And that's why you see more single mothers and single fathers. And I'm not trying to, you know, get into that, debate that, a law. I had someone the other day, well, that's not true because of the custody. I'm like, hey, man, I'm just telling you what I see. It's my opinion, right? I feel like we should do our part. I feel like we, as men and fathers, we should do better for our kids and for our wives, right? Our significant others. And so just being a father and trying to make my, I always, like, I want my kids to be proud that I'm their dad, right? Like, they didn't choose
so good.
Me. So that's what I ground myself in everything, even being an entrepreneur. It's like, I want my kids to be proud that I'm their dad, right? Like I thrive for that. I didn't have a father. So being there for my kids, being their heroes, like they could pick any hero in the world. I hope it's me. And so, that's who I am, like first and foremost. And that's really what sums me up. If I'm not working, I'm with my family, right? Like there's really nothing else. That's my hobby. Like if I could pick, I laugh. We did this thing the other day, and when you ask someone, like if I asked you, Nina, if you're, you know, dead or alive, what's one, who's one person you'd want to go to dinner with, right? And all of us adults say a name, like whoever, sports, somebody in the past, right? And all the kids said their parents, right?
Oh,
so I'm taking my son to school the other day, and I go, Connor, I said, we go through a routine. And every single day, I tell him, hey, Connor, what are we going to do today? He goes, Dad, we're going to have a great day. And I say, why? He's like, we're going to make it a great day. And then we have things we do. We never quit. We never give up. We always work hard and we help people. That's our four that I tell him every day on the way to school. And so the other day, he had a little hiccup. He got in trouble at school. He got disciplined. And the funny part about that day was he actually didn't say it that day because he was in a bad mood. He goes, Dad, I'm not saying it today. It's stupid. And he got in trouble. So then the next day, he goes, Dad, I want to say my great day because yesterday I didn't do it. I got in trouble. I got off track, right? And we were doing it, and I asked him, I said, Connor, if you could have dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be? Anyone. It could be a character. It could be – and he goes, I would do it with my family, Dad. And I was like – but it was crazy how I was like, oh, my God, like that's what we always think. And so for me, just that's who I say I am, is being a father, being a husband, family is everything.
That is so great, right? And sometimes, you know, regardless of our past and like who we didn't have, right, mm-hmm. supporting us, our parents, stuff like that, it's almost like you have to thank them, right? Yeah, because when you think about if they didn't make our lives as horrible, as hard as it was, maybe we wouldn't have the insight, or you wouldn't have had the insight to look and say, I'm going to be a great dad, period. Right? Absolutely. That's so good. It's so good. So tell me a little bit about that, if you don't mind. Like, because I was reading your bio, and as I read, you know, that at 14 you were homeless. So did you make a decision at 14 to kind of leave your home, or, you know, what is the story behind that?
Yeah. So I feel like as you get older, everything starts to make more sense, right? When you start to explore who you are, I fundamentally believe life is ultimate goal is becoming the person you're supposed to be. And once you start becoming the person you're supposed to be, you're going to have everything you ever want. And you'll never really know. Think of like most people in life don't have a work ethic problem. They don't have a lazy problem. They have a lack of who they are and what they want. Yeah, and to me, we always chase what we want. We think that's what we're supposed to do, but we don't chase who we're supposed to become. And who you are as a person is going to determine the decisions you make and what you get in your life. And so I spent a lot of time lately focusing on who I am and who I'm supposed to become. And so it's kind of all come full circle with that. And so it started as like, I live in a life. My mom was unfortunately on drugs. I don't know who my real dad is. We lived in a trailer park, you know, that type of situation. My stepdad used to beat my mom, beat us, just wasn't a very good person at the time. I've actually heard he turned out to be a great person, which I have the utmost respect for that. And, just went through abuse. We went through times of not having running water, electricity, and it was just rough. And I decided one day after the abuse that I just didn't want to be in there anymore. And I just took off. And it was like, I didn't go home one night and I didn't ever want to go back. Right. Mm-hmm. And so those decisions were mine. Right. And so for a long time, I blamed them. I blamed my parents, you know, but it was my decision. Like I could have stayed in that environment. Right. Like, but at the time I didn't realize it was my choice. I just thought, oh, poor me. I'm this homeless kid. And I made that decision. Right. But it was the right decision. And it was a tough decision and it wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I bounced around from house to house for a little bit, right? But there'd be nights, I just don't think people realize I was homeless because I was 14 years old. I was well-spoken, right? I was respectful. And maybe I didn't fit the mold that people would look at as like, oh, this is a homeless kid.
Right.
And I didn't want to, and also shame on me, I didn't want to ask for help. And I was a traumatized kid, if you will.
But you were 14.
I was 14. Right. It's just right. A kid. But I had to grow up. I had to grow up at such a young age, so I don't feel like I was 14, right?
Right, right.
And I would bounce from couch to couch, house to house, but people wouldn't let you stay all the time. They're like, you need to go home. It's a school night. And you're like, oh, okay, but I don't have a home, you know? But they didn't understand that. And so, you know, there was like sleeping on a park bench and sleeping on people's back porches. And I just remember one night, it was cold. It was late. It was windy. And I was sleeping on this park we had kind of downtown. We were a small town. And I just remember I was scared. Like I was so scared because I was hungry. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a bad day. And at 14 years old, when you're going through things, you just want your mother and you just want your family. And when you don't have that, it's terrifying. And, you know, hey, could I have reached out to family? I don't know. But I was in that situation. Right. And I just like, man, this is my life now, but I don't want this life forever. I want to do something special one day. And again, it wasn't like, oh, it's overnight. My overnight success was 25 years in the making, 30 years in the making, right? But it was just, I was scared to death. And luckily, by the time I was probably like 15, 16, I had a couple different families take me in. Like one of the families took me in for, you know, months. And then I actually, one of my best friends is still a really good friend to this day. His dad, single dad. And he was like, "Hey, you don't have anywhere to go, do you?" And he's like, "You're always over here." And I said, "Well, no, sir." And he was like, "You're staying here. You're not going anywhere." Mm-hmm. And he actually let me stay there for like, you know, 2 or 3 years through high school. And so it took me 5 years to graduate high school. And
I'm proud of you, though. Lucky. You still were going to high school. I'm very proud of you for that.
I still was. And, you know, what's weird is I don't know why, probably some different reasons, but, you know, probably going for the wrong reasons, but turned out to be the right reasons. Right. But I was still going. And I think it's because I wanted to do something with my life, but I didn't know. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that was the high school. And then as I got older, it was crazy. I actually, you know, made dumb decisions. The worst thing, though, this is what I tell people. That homeless, I didn't know anything different. Like, I didn't know any difference of growing up in a trailer park. Right? I didn't know anything.
Right.
About that.
Right.
The worst moment was I had a little success after high school. I got a job and I had a career for like 5-6 years. And I made, this is back in like 02 to 07, 08. So I made like $120,000 a year plus. So I made really good money at the time. And I bought a house. I had like 2 cars and I got myself in trouble, got fired. And my house was foreclosed on. My car got repoed and I lost it all. And I was actually sleeping in a car for about 45 days while I got a new job, but it didn't pay as much as I was used to. And I didn't get a paycheck. You know, you work your first 2 weeks and then you get two-week payroll. So 30 days. And I was living in a car for like 30 days. And that was the worst. I was like, wow, I started here and I worked my way out. And then I brought myself back. And that was like so hard to comprehend that I became everything I said I wasn't. And it took me at that moment, I was probably 25, 26 years old. It took me until I was 36, 37 to get out of that. Really, like truly get out of that. Like, so yeah, it was decision, poor decisions on my part. But again, I think it goes back to, I wasn't focused on the person that I was supposed to be. And so I was always focused on material things and money. And so then you don't achieve those things. And so it was a tough road. And now looking back, I go, man, it was all my fault, because at the end of the day, I grew up in that household, but my mom wasn't there when I got arrested when I was, 21. My real dad, I don't know his name. But yeah, it's his fault that I didn't accomplish things in life. No, it was mine. The common denominator through my story is me. Right. And through all that, it was my fault. Like, I didn't have a choice what I was born into, but I had a choice how I reacted to it. I had a choice on how I went through those things and handled those situations. And I think I handled them very poorly, even at a young age. And so now I spend a lot of time looking at the past. Why? Because one, I never want to go back there. And you can never predict the future unless you study your past. And so I study every mistake I've ever made. I study the good I've done. So when something comes at me now, I'm like, I already know what's going to happen because I've been through this. And so I spend a lot of time studying what got me there. What should I have done differently? It's almost like studying game film in sports.
Right, right. Well, I mean, it's all to benefit you, right? I feel like it's all to benefit you. I think the older we get, the wiser you're getting, right? Absolutely. So you're looking at the back and going, I was a kid, it was a stupid move, blah, blah, blah. But you also have to remember there's a certain amount of programming too, Dustin, right?
Yes.
For the first 7 years of your life, there was programming going on too, right? That wasn't really to your benefit, right? With all the abuse and the drug use and, you know, living in a trailer and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of different pieces, I say, is what I'm thinking. But you're right. We are responsible for our own. So tell me about that moment for you. Or was it where did that awareness come from, right? Because you said it took you about 10 years, right? So 21 or so to like 30 something. Yep. So where did the awareness come from? What was that like aha? Because you did have an awareness already at like 14 when you said, I don't want to live this kind of life.
Yeah.
Right.
So I made obviously a bunch of poor decisions and throughout all that. And I don't really think I remember it started with the birth of our son, right? So my wife was pregnant at the time. I'm 41 now. My son's 6 and a half. So I was, 34. Mm-hmm. And my wife was working. I had just lost my job because go figure, I played the victim mentality. So everything everybody ever happened to me was somebody else's fault, right? I always point at the fingers and not the thumbs. So my pregnant wife's working and I'm not. I just lost my job. We're having a baby in the next few months. I'm going through stuff and I'm blaming everybody else. And poor me, I'm the victim, right? And I was just a loser. And I think that's the thing is like, I was a loser. I was born a loser. I grew up a loser. And I never looked at that. It's like, we get so offended when someone calls us a loser, but it's like, man, you are. What have you done? You have a kid on the way and you're acting like a child. You play the victim. You're a loser. What have you actually done to help anyone? And so I think I was realistic with myself and I didn't change because like you said, people think that because they know what they did wrong, they're automatically going to change. That's not the case. If you have 34 years of bad habits, it's going to take you time to fix them and start making decisions. And so when my wife got pregnant, obviously she wasn't drinking. And so I made a decision to stop drinking. And it like started to open my eyes where I would say almost like I started to mature a little bit. I wasn't like, I'm not going to say I was mature by any stretch, but I started to have different thoughts. Like, why am I thinking this way? So I actually got really embarrassed that I was having a child because I felt like I wasn't going to be man enough to raise this kid. And I actually had like, I had the thoughts of leaving, like telling my wife, like, I'm out. You'll be better off without me. And I remember one day I told my wife, like, you'll be better off without me in this kid's life. You know, of course, she believed me more than I ever believed in myself and was like, no, you're not. I love you. You're going to be a great father. But I didn't believe that. Like deep down, I didn't believe that. Right. And I remember that I told her, I want to change our last name. My last name is Gutkowski. It's not my real dad's last name because I don't know his name. We don't know who he is. We've tried to find him. It's my mother's maiden last name. I don't like, I don't, it has no ties to me. It just reminded me of trauma and it reminded me of bad times. And so I said, if we're going to have this kid, I'd like to change our last name. And we were even looking at different last names, right? We're married at the time. And she's like, let's just get through having the kid and we will. And I'll never forget when she was going through, so I walked in the wrong side of the C-section. So emergency C-section, the heart rate's dropped. And they told me to walk in this door and I went in the wrong door because, as you know, I can't follow directions. So I'm like, oh, cool, I got this. And I go in and I'm behind the wrong curtain. So I found the Wizard of Oz. My wife is cut open. There's stuff this side. And I'm like,
oh my God.
And they're like, what are you doing? Get to the other side. I go to the other side and my wife's like, and I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, what are you talking about? Because she couldn't feel anything. I'm freaking out thinking I'm going to lose my wife. I'm like, babe, are you okay? She's like, I'm fine. What's wrong with you? And so I'm going back to the side of the curtain because I'm freaking out. And they're like, you need to stay your ass over there. Right. And so I hear this scream and I just lose it. I go over there and they're like, what are you doing? I see my son and I just lost it.
Yeah.
And I've never felt that emotion in my life. Mm-hmm. And I start crying and I just go to grab him. They're like, stop, because they haven't even cleaned him off or nothing.
Right.
He's on the thing.
You're trying to go all up in the womb, right?
And I am, and I'm on the thing, and I'm just like, I felt alive. And I just wanted to grab him, and I get emotional talking about it. And I'm like, man, like, this is my guy. And I look back at my wife, and I run over there. I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, yes. I'm like, our baby's here. Like, I'm freaking out. And they're like, man, you got to relax. So they get him on the little scale, and he's, and I just want to hold him. And they get him out, you know, they do their stuff. And right away, of course, they hand him to me and I just start crying and I give him to my wife. And the moment that I saw her with our son, I was like, man, this is it. Like, this is everything. And I just was like, man, this moment right now, I hope everybody feels this one time in their life. I hope somebody feels this alive. Watching my wife go through all the stuff with me, watching her believe in me, watching her go through the child, watching her, you know, I wasn't the best husband, I wasn't the best boyfriend, all those things, and she still believed in me, to get to this moment was the greatest moment of my life. And when she handed him to me, I cried for about 45 minutes. And we had this like older nurse in there. It's so weird. Like, it's not to say like a guardian angel or anything like that, but you know, when somebody speaks to you, it's like they speak to you. And there was 100 people talking to me that day and I couldn't hear what they're saying. But for whatever reason, I heard what that lady said. And she goes, she's like, young man, she's like, you've been through some shit in your day. And sorry. And I go,
no, you're good.
I go, yes, ma'am. Like, it kind of threw me off. And she's like, I said, I've been through pain, trauma, everything. And she's like, I can feel it leaving your body. And it really kind of like gave me chills, because she's like, I was just crying like nonstop for 45 minutes. And I said, ma'am, I've been through so much trauma, pain, abuse, and I'd go through it 1,000 times over again to get to this moment. Like, it was just like, it was so freeing, like this moment. And I said, I'm like, I'm going to make this kid proud that I'm his dad.
Yeah.
And I said, that's all my mission in life is going to be, is just to make sure that he's proud that I'm his dad, and I've got to treat his mom good, and I've got to treat him well, and I've got to make him proud that I'm his dad. And so my life just started there. And again, I wasn't perfect, and I tried to be, you know, a better man and a better father and make better decisions. And I think it stemmed from that, was like, okay, I didn't have a dad, so what would I want my dad to be? And what kind of decisions would I make? What kind of person is he? And it all started with, you got to be the certain person. And you try to focus on being better and making better decisions. You always don't make the right ones. But I always look at, show me a bad father who's a good person. Like, it doesn't exist. Like, good fathers are generally good people. And so I focused on being a better father, being a better husband, and trying to get things right. And so that moment just started to, like, okay, someone told me this, and it might not be true, but they said, your karma doesn't come back to you, it comes back to your kids. And
I've heard that.
Like, if that is true, I don't want that to happen. And so I started to make better decisions, like do the right thing and living for others. And then the kids taught me patience of, even with business, when your kid spills milk on the couch, you don't fire him. And so in business, why would you fire someone for spilling milk, right? Now, sometimes they do have to, you have to fire people, unfortunately, right? But it's having patience, right? It's working through those challenges and trying to be better and being a good role model, because they're always watching and they don't care what you're going through. They don't care if you're sick. They're there. And it's the same thing with the business. We're like, I'm the boss. You might, but that's not the case, right? And as a parent, you're there for them. They're not there for you. And so in business, it's the same thing. People get twisted, like, oh, I'm a boss, you should listen to me. No, no, no. You work for your people. They don't work for you. They could choose to go anywhere else. And one day when your kids are 18, they can choose to go wherever they want in the world. And if you're not a good parent, you're never going to see them again for Christmas, Thanksgiving. And I don't want that. I want my kids to be there. I want them to feel loved. And I want them to feel those things that I never felt. And so, you know, my wife does such an amazing job with our children. She's the best mother ever alive. No offense to any other women. I know that's great. But I just, my wife is such an incredible mother and makes everything go. And I couldn't do what I do without having my wife there, who I trust more than anything, that takes care of our children and always makes sure that their needs are ahead of everything and everyone else. And it's just, it works for us. And it allows me to chase my goals and dreams, because I can never be the father or husband I am without chasing my goals and dreams. So, you know, that's kind of the story. And that's probably the moment that really changed it all for me, that started me on that path of being the person I want to become and trying to be a better person, doing the right thing. Overall, it's like, I want to live a better life. And what does that look like? And I started focusing on that. And the weirdest thing happened when I started giving more than I take, I got more.
Yeah.
I was so grateful for what I had in my life, coming from nothing, that I got more. And I did things because I thought it was the right thing, not because I wanted something. And life just has a funny way of giving you more when you're grateful for what you have, right? And when you give more, you get more. And that's kind of the song and dance.
Right. So first of all, thank you for sharing that story, because that's such a beautiful story and so true. My son is having his first daughter his very first daughter in May. So I'm excited.
Oh, what day?
Day in May? I think May 15th or something.
Okay. Yeah.
So I said to him, I said, you're not going to know love until you see that little girl and she's in your arms. Then you will experience life-changing, life-changing love. 100%. Yeah. So good. Where was the business coming in from, though? Because you weren't working, right? So, So tell me about that. Like, what made you chase this? Because you really have a lot of success within a very short time, right?
I worked for other people. So we've had the business. We opened in November of 2019, right? And so I had my son, and my son was born June 18th of 17. We opened the business November 19. So I worked for a few other people, right? And my last run, I was managing health clubs. So I came from the fitness industry before. I managed gyms, and that's what I'd always done. And I had a lot of success in it. And so my last run, I was making really good money, making the most money I'd ever made in my life. My wife was a stay-at-home wife. I was doing well, right? Last two jobs I had were really, really well for me. And but I was living someone else's dream. And I had this realization of, I wanted to give my kids the world, and I wasn't going to be able to work in a salary position. I wasn't going to be able to give my family the world, right? And I was slaving away on Christmas. I was slaving away all these days to make $150,000 plus a year. It just wasn't worth it to me. And I remember I wanted to do something different. And I saw so many people having success in roofing, right? And I'm like, man, if these guys can do it, I can do it. And I was like, I'm a hypocrite. I always try to push my ideas and my beliefs on my owner. And I'm like wanting to live my dreams through them. And that's not fair, because I believe that, first of all, not everybody has a vision, right? Certain people have a vision, and a real vision where they can see it so clear, and imagination. And so you don't have to have a vision, but you have to believe in one. And I never believed in one, but I believed in my own. And I believe that people like me that came from where I come from didn't get a fair opportunity, and life's not fair, so buckle up, right? But it's some of my own choice. So what if I created an environment where people like me could go excel, where the underdogs, the band of misfits, the people that maybe didn't have a chance, came from the rough upbringing, could come out and perform. But also the people that had a great upbringing, that people thought they had their whole life handed to them, could come here and perform and prove that they were the real deal. So I wanted to create an environment of that culture that I always thought existed, that everyone told me it didn't.
So good.
And so I was like, I want to create this. And so I'm working for all these people, and I'm being a hypocrite. I'm telling them how to run their business. And as an owner, it's like so many people want to tell you how to run their business. I've never ran a business, right? They're coaching you on how to run a business that they don't have. They've never accomplished. They're like, let me show you how to scale to 250 million. I'm like, what do you own? Oh, well, nothing. You live with your mom in a basement? What are you talking about, right?
So
But I'm that guy. So I'm telling you how to be successful, and I'd never accomplished anything. So I quit, moved back to Dallas, where we're from. And I worked for another roofing company for about 10 months, and, you know, great people, but what our dreams and goals didn't align. So I told my wife one day, I am going to start my own company. She's like, you're crazy. Yes, I am. And my wife will tell you, like, Dustin believes the shit that comes out of his mouth. And it's just true. You got to believe it. And I'm driving home one day. And I had this vision of roofing company I didn't know how. And I go, RR, Results Roofing, I got it. My wife's like, what are you talking about? Hang up the phone. And she's like, she's blowing me up thinking something happened. I got in a wreck, and I pull over and I start writing down RR, and I start Results Roofing. And I had the R's like Rolls Royce, like forward facing, like R. No, I don't like that. And then I had this like just hit me. One R's facing this way for our past, because we're always going to remember that. And that's where we come from. And we never want to go back, and we want to learn. And we're going to have a forward facing R because they're mirrored. This is going to represent the us going in the future and the journey we're going to take. So Results Roofing is going to represent where we're from, where we came from.
I love this. Where we're going.
And it was it. And it was like the dream began. And I said, I'm going to create this culture, and I'm going to do it my way. I always have this dream, when it's all done, I'm going to play Elvis my way. And that's how I'm going to walk away. It's like, I did all these things, but I did it my way. And everything they told me I couldn't do, I'm accomplishing, and I'm living through it, because I just set out the business to say, I put its impact over income, and I care about people. And if you're a homeowner, I care about your roof like it was my own. I care about you, and I really value that we are relational. We're not transactional. And I feel that in my life, I don't just want a transaction with you. I know some are a transaction. I'm not naive to that fact, but I want to have a relationship. I want this to be something that is a good experience for you. I want our people that work here at Results Roofing to know that I work for them. They don't work for me. I want to create a culture where they could come in and be a part of something bigger than themselves. And we do things and grow together. That way we could chase our goals and dreams together and accomplish all we ever wanted. It's not just about me. It's about our customers, our homeowners, our vendors, our employees, the people that work for everybody that's a part of this. I wanted to create that culture where they felt something bigger than themselves, but we could have fun with doing it. I'm like, why can't we have fun? Why does it always have to be and or? Like, why does it have to be, well, you work hard or you have fun? Why don't you work hard and have fun? Why don't you work with people you like and enjoy and make a lot of money? Why is it always and or? Let's and. And so we started to build this culture around people. We started building this culture around people's goals and dreams and accomplishing what they wanted. And we started building around trying to encourage our people to be better professionally, but more important, be better personally. Like when you leave Results Roofing, if you decide to do, like, did I make you better as a person? Like, did I hold you accountable? Did I challenge you to grow? And if I didn't do that, then I didn't do my job. And so I focus on those things. And look, it's not for everybody. People get fed up with the accountability. Dustin, you're too hard on me, this and that. And I'm like, you know what? But I'm not going to lose my integrity, give you a false sense of security that you're doing what you're supposed to do, because I don't want you to wake up one day when you're 70, 80 years old and look back and go, what if, right? What if I'd done this? And so look, if you're going to be a what if guy, it's going to be with someone else. If you work with me, I'm going to hold you accountable. And I'm going to question what you do, and I'm going to push you, and I'm going to motivate you. I'm going to inspire you to do something bigger than what you're doing, because I don't want you to be a waste of talent or think back and go, what if? And I would rather you hate me and be great than be your friend and watch you fail. And I just can't sit by and watch that, right? And so I firmly believe in that. And look, it's not for everybody. Some people want to go on their own. That's fine. I wish them nothing but the best. I'll probably never speak to you again, because if you're not with us, to me, you're against us. And I don't fraternize with the enemy. I care about this team and this family. And if you leave here, people get upset, but I'm like, you're dead to me because you chose to quit on this. Then go build your own dreams, but then you don't need me anymore, right? And I don't need you.
Right.
And so it's the focus on the people, and it's the intensity to get people to be better and create future leaders and change people's lives. And that's what I want to do, from homeowners to employees to the people that believe in us and the people that support us. Like, I'm so thankful for that, because there's 5,000 roofing companies in DFW, and you chose to work here. You chose to do business with us. Like, I'm thankful for that. I'm extremely thankful for that. So I try to show that gratitude in everything I do. And, you know, I still have stuff to learn, but I'm doing my best, and I'm constantly on a quest to be better and get better and grow and inspire people and do that.
So what do you think is the most important thing, right? Because I hear so many amazing things coming out of you. And one is, you're not just an owner, right? You are really a mentor. At least it feels to me like you're also a mentor, right? And so I know that a lot of CEOs and a lot of thought leaders and stuff listen to the show. So if they're trying to grow, because you have really great success and really great growth, right? So for somebody who is like maybe grappling with growth or how to even get there, like, what do you think is one of the first few key things that they should be doing as entrepreneurs and somebody who's trying to expand their business, but also their team?
Yeah. So I think when we open a business or we start a business, let's say we're a few years in and we think growth is the best option, right? And sometimes it's not, because if it's not what you want and it's not what you're willing to do, then don't do it, because it can be detrimental, right? Like, to me, there's nothing wrong with, you know, running a 3 to 5 man operation and being, to me, that's successful, right? Like, if you're happy, that's success. So don't grow to just grow, because that's what people tell you to do. If you're running a successful business and you're happy, man, stay there. If that's what you truly want, I think it all boils down to, you know, besides the person you're supposed to become, people don't know what they really want. So they just go along with what they see online. Well, I'm supposed to grow as an entrepreneur, but why? Why do you want to grow? What's the purpose of your growth? So for me, I want to inspire a lot of people. And I've never set out to be the biggest, baddest roofing company. That's not what I aspire to be, right? I aspire to create change, to hire the most people that I can impact. So through that journey, it's caused us to grow, right? I'm not motivated by money. I'm motivated by my wife and kids and Disney trips, right? That's what I'm motivated by. So I'm not, like, when you try to entice me with money, it doesn't fire me up. And it fires me up helping people. It fires me up impacting people. Money is a tool to help people, right? So for any entrepreneur out there trying to grow, reverse engineer where you want to go. So if you're, let's just say you're a $3 million company and you say, I want to be at 5 million. Why? Right? Why do you want to be at 5 million? Or if you're at 10 employees, you want to be at 15. Why? And I always look at this, what problem are you solving for? So if I'm at 3 million and I want to go to 4, why? What problem am I solving for? What problems do I have now that 4 million will eliminate? Right? Like, because it's just like hiring. People always think, I said, this is crazy. So someone the other day was like, we need to hire. And I said, why? Because we're having problems and challenges. I said, okay, what are the challenges? So they're going through them. And I said, so you think by hiring someone new that doesn't know our system, knows nothing about us, is going to fix those challenges? They're going to create more challenges, because you're going to bring them up and show them how to do it, right? So growth actually creates more challenges. So for me, if you're going to hire someone, what specifically are they going to do and what problems are they going to solve for? And if you don't know that, you shouldn't grow. If your revenue, like, so let's say this, right? If your revenue is at 3 million and your margins are minimum and you're not making enough money to survive, you know that you have to go to 4 million to make the appropriate money to survive, pay payroll. That's a real problem that you have, and growth solves that, right?
Right.
Don't just grow to grow. And if it's the cliche thing to say, well, I want to be a business, but why? You want to be the and I think we want to grow because we like to compare. We like to compare, like me. You know, we're a large company. We're not the biggest roofing company in the country. So people, it's easy to me to compare to the other company that's doing more revenue than us. But how long have they been in business? Right. What are they doing? So right. there's factors to it. So I don't get caught up in it. What I get caught up in is, where do I want to go? What motivates me and why? And then what am I willing to do? Because you've got to be honest with yourself as an entrepreneur. Let's say you're a $3 million entrepreneur, but you take off every weekend. Let's say maybe you only work 8 to 5. There are entrepreneurs that have successful businesses that don't work a lot. Well, if you want to grow and double your business, bye-bye weekends.
Right.
Bye-bye early nights.
Right.
So what right. do you want and what are you willing to do? So I think it boils down, is like, long story short, is what so do you good. Really want and why, right? Why are you mm-hmm. trying to grow? Don't just grow to grow. And so once you identify why you want to grow, I think it's look at yourself, man. And then so many people, they look for how they're going to get there instead of who.
Yep,
who
yep.
can help get you there? So if you want to be a $5 million company, instead of saying, how do I go from 3 to 5? Who do I need to help get me to 5 million? Because right. then it becomes like, I need a great sales leader. I'm not a sales leader. I need to get a great sales leader. Great. This person's going to help get me to 5 million. Me, right. I love sales. So I need operationally driven people. I need accountants. So for me to get from here to here, it goes, I hire this person to take away tasks that take it off my plate, that free me up to train sales rep, hire sales reps and grow. So identifying who you are and then who can help get you there. And so to me, I look at everything we grow with, okay, if we're $40 million company and we want to go to 55, who is going to get us to 55, right?
Right.
Who can we get? So I think that's the biggest thing on identifying and then create a strong plan to get there. That's Patrick Bet David has a phenomenal book about this. It's Choose Your Enemies Wisely. Shout out to Patrick Bet David. He's phenomenal. And it's about setting up a business plan that's emotional and logic about the passion and why you want to get to that number, and then a strategy that's logical on steps you could take to get there. That's so I think good. Creating that strong business plan is phenomenal for you. And that yeah. book will definitely help get you there.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely pick that up. Thank you for that. And because I know that people who are listening and a lot of people that I speak to in the community are always talking about, you know, strategies and growth. And that's why they listen to the show, because they want to like listen to, mm-hmm. Experts like yourself. Right. So before I wrap up, though, I know that people are probably wondering how they can get in your ecosystem, right? Kind of yep. follow you, look at you or talk to you or whatever that is. So give us that, Dustin. Like, how do people connect with the work that you're doing or the mentorship or, the thought process of what you do?
Yeah. So for anyone that has like business related questions, again, Patrick David created a phenomenal app. And I'm on there, but there's some incredible people on there that Patrick David you can ask questions to, right? There's thousands of experts, and I use it as an expert and both as a user. So when I have a business related question, there's people that have done what I'm trying to do that I can connect with. So it's called Minect. It's MINNECT. If you get Minect, if you go to Patrick Dev, you can see it and you get to connect to myself on there. I charge absolute minimum. It's 10 bucks for a question, right? Because wow. It's not a money thing. It's a way to impact right. people. That's the least I can charge. And, it's a way to ask questions. And I always feel like, well, I could just go to Instagram. I do get a lot of messages on Instagram, but here's why I don't really respond to a lot of messages on Instagram like that, because I try to use it for friendly, but I always feel like if you're not going to invest in yourself, why would I do it? Right. And so I know 10 bucks is 10 bucks, but it's a way to connect with somebody that's serious. And I do the same thing. So if I have a question with somebody, I actually try to reach out to them on there. I don't want to reach out to them on Instagram or something like that, because right. they get so many. But if Minect, and look, reach out to me on Instagram, though, put it on there. I'd love to be friends with people. If it's a friend related question, I'm all in like that. I love to connect with people. It's Dustin Gutkowski and it RR. So Dustin Gutkowski RR. It's on Instagram, Results Roofing, and we can connect. And I'm all about that. I just say for the business related questions, you go there. It shows people you're serious and you can connect with some phenomenal people in the podcast game, real estate game, social media game, experts, celebrities. The who's who's awesome. There. It's great. And for business and personal, yeah, on Instagram is the best way to connect. And if you have general, questions, concerns, I'm here to help. If I can, I don't think I'm better than anyone. I just think that I've been through so much. Mm-hmm, analyzed my mistakes. I've studied the good, the bad, the ugly. And I can help you watch out for some landmines I know you're going to hit. It's up to you to choose it. But I'm just going to tell you, hey, be careful. There's one there. And be careful, because if you do this, this is more than likely going to happen. And I'm only going to give you my life experiences. That's it. Right. So, and then any tactical steps along the way, like hiring process, so anything like that, I'll try to help people with.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Dustin. And the reason I wanted my audience to hear you, to connect with you, is because your story just makes you tangible and authentic, right? Because when you've gone through some shiznick, right?
Yeah.
You kind of know where the mines are for you not to step on. So I want to really thank you, because this was a really great conversation, and I'm really excited that you were here and that you spoke to my audience, and I know that they're going to get a lot out of it. So thank you so freaking much for being here, Dustin. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Look, everyone out there, entrepreneur, friend, family, we're all going through something, right? Mm-hmm. And it's okay, right? Don't let it overwhelm you. Just keep going, right? You're only going to lose if you quit. Just think about your track record, all the bad things and the bad stuff that's happened to you before. You survived them all and you're still here.
So keep going
and don't quit, right? I promise you there are brighter days ahead, no matter what you're going through. Everything you feel, everybody's been there or is going through that. Mm-hmm, and this exact chapter in your life that you're going through, somebody else has gone through, and you're going to get through it, right? And you're probably going to feel alone and you probably feel lost. And that just means you're growing. So if you're an entrepreneur and you're going through that, just keep going. You got this. I promise you, you're going to come out on the other side.
Yeah. And you can use that wisdom to help someone else, because 100%. I always feel like we are supposed to help others.
Absolutely.
So freaking cool. So freaking cool, guys. I told you, such a good guy, right?
Thank you. Good human
on the planet. I'm so glad he was here to talk to you. I thank you guys so much for everything that you do. Make sure you like, share, subscribe this episode, because I think this is going to inspire so many people. Thank you guys for hanging out. Don't forget to follow. I'm going to put all of his information below so you don't miss a thing, and you can just like go ahead and reach out to him and get on the community. I'll put that information there as well. All right, guys, thank you so much for being here. Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.